Entrepreneurs, small business owners, professionals who seek excellence, bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builder Show. Here's Marty Wolf.
We still got a long way to go. Yes, we all got a long way to go.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the Business Builder Show. I'm your business coach, Marty Wolf, and your host for the Business Builder Show. Joining me in the studio is my sidekick, Mr. Kerry Carney. Hi, Kerry.
Hello, Marty Wolf.
Hey, there you go. And our producer, Mr. Tom Jenkins. Hi, Tom.
Marty, great to see you.
Great to see you, too. Great to be in the studio. Another member of our team, Dr. Tony Massari, will be offering his comments later in the show. Now, I know we have a lot of regular listeners, but I do want to remind those first-time visitors that the Business Builders Show is for entrepreneurs, small business owners, and professionals who seek excellence. We deliver tips to help you run your business on the topics of technology, sales and marketing, finance, leadership, innovation, and personal development. We do all we can to bring the classroom to you. And that's a real focus for us, right, Kerry? We focus on bringing that classroom to you, and we've had compliments about that.
Actually, an MBA classroom.
Yes, which made me feel good. Not sure if that's totally accurate, but we'll keep moving. Last week, our guest was Joanne Black, and Joanne wrote a book called No More Cold Calling, and that got an interesting response because there were people who said, what do you mean, no more cold calling ever? Well, there's degrees of that. We're not going to, maybe on another show we'll talk about that. And we said that we promised you another week on the topic of sales. We are not going to let you down. Our guest today is the one and only Tom Hopkins. Kerry, what an honor it was for us to speak with Tom, and what an honor it is to share what we learned with our audience of entrepreneurs, small business owners, and professionals who seek excellence.
Absolutely. When you informed me a little while ago, a few weeks back, that you had booked Mr. Hopkins, I was enthralled. Great job. Great job by Mr. Hopkins, and great job by you by booking the appointment.
Well, thank you. We are going to start off the show by talking about five ways to become a social media rock star. In last week's show, Joanne Black and actually the interview we have with Tom Hopkins today, they both expressed some concern that we might be relying on technology too much in our quest for new business. Well, maybe, but here's what I do know. That just like bricks and mortar businesses and online marketing work together, so the combination of person-to-person communication and technology or social media are not enemies. We got to do both of them to succeed in our small businesses today. So person-to-person and technology. Let's move into an article from Entrepreneur, Five Ways to Become a Social Media Rockstar. Now, Kerry, I said social media rockstar. I know you have designs on being a rockstar, but we need to stay focused on social media.
Yeah, let's not bring up the tight pants.
Okay? My pathos or emotional connection to rock stars runs deep.
Okay. Well, we're going to move on to social media rock star. Top five things that make your social media advertising strategy successful. That should get our attention. Number one, be a good communicator. And it says, write well. Write the way you speak. Now, to a point, of course, and make sure the grammar is right, and do it especially if you're blogging, because you know what, you blog something and you have great content. If you make one little mistake, somebody will say, boy, the grammar is poor, the spelling is poor. Don't let that happen.
Well, it's a reflection. You know, what you're trying to do in all of this effort is persuade.
Correct.
And the best persuasion can grab someone from logic, emotion, and then your character. This is kind of part of your character. You're well-read. You can write. You have fundamental tasks or abilities that you can get your point across. So It's reflective.
And in terms of writing, well, it said actually if you have the opportunity, write something and then walk away from it and come back to it. And I do that, but I still make some mistakes. But write well and then use image whenever possible. You know, use a picture. And it says here, when you use an image, that gets 2 to 3 times more interaction. Now, what does interaction mean? That means that it's shared, it's retweeted, it has a lot more impact. Somebody is responding to it. So use images whenever possible.
Or retained and acted upon.
retained and acted upon. It shared. Yeah, exactly right. Use video. Utilize video. YouTube. A lot of people are incorporating that. That's important. Take advantage of all social networks. Now, we talked about a lot of people use primarily Twitter and Facebook. We use LinkedIn because we see that mm-hmm. as the thing to use. They've talked about, you know, Google Plus, which is coming on gangbusters. Google Hangouts and Google Plus and all that kind of information. Use all the social networks. Now, use the ones that fit you, but use as many as possible. And it talks about a slideshare presentation. Learn what a slideshare presentation is, because a lot of people do a good job with this on LinkedIn. It says also, in terms of being a good communicator, respond immediately. If somebody sends you something, respond. If it's an email or it comes through your website or through your blog, respond. And then last point in terms of good communication is don't get emotional. Somebody may not like what you said or what you wrote or your grammar. Stay calm and just maybe respond professionally, but don't get emotional.
Don't feed the trolls, as they say.
That's right.
It's actually written in this article, Tom. Yes. Don't feed the trolls.
Yeah, don't go there.
Verbatim.
Stay calm. It says here, in terms of becoming a social media rock star, is buy advertising on Facebook, LinkedIn, and the other. And some people resist that. But it's good. But the key thing is to use the targeting tools. Don't just
shotgun it.
Don't just spray and pray. Don't mm-hmm. just put it out there. You know, there's targeting tools. You know, really focus on who your market is, because not only is that more effective, but also if you don't, it could cost you more money than necessary, especially if you're paying, you know, pay per click and that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Aim small, hit small.
There you go. The other thing it says, avoid the me thing. You know, talking about me. And they talk about here is the 80% non-promotional and 20% promotional. And our guy, Paul Slack, talked about this also. And I want to make sure we point out that your social media information, when you're posting something on Facebook or Twitter, always point a link back to your blog that you have written. That's very, very important. Carrie, you have something you want to add.
One other major item, curate content.
Right. Which means
you have to get, like a museum, you have to have wonderful pieces on that site.
Yes.
From wherever you're getting it from, point out where you got it from. But the ultimate goal is to share. Have people look at it. Have someone look at it and say, I got to send this out to my 100 buddies. So you have to have great content, and think of it as a museum where you want to curate fantastic ideas from a number of different people.
Wow. Tom, that was pretty powerful. We're all blinking in the studio.
I'm speechless.
I don't even know how to follow up on that. That was so strong. Carney, that was really good. Excellent. We're talking about becoming a social media rock star. And we only have a few more minutes for our break, or actually a few more seconds, I should say, Mr. Producer, right? Expand beyond your own customers. I'm not sure where to take that. I guess maybe, because we just talked about focusing, maybe that's, you know, talk about your hobbies if you have time for that. That may attract some people. And the last point, it says, flattery will get you everywhere. Find out who's following the people you're following on Facebook and on LinkedIn, and follow them and make comments about what they're saying and doing. And wow, a lot of information in our first part of the show. We will be right back with our special guest, Mr. Tom Hopkins.
Bringing the business classroom to you, it's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf. Presenting the thought leaders of today, it's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builders Show. It's now time to introduce our special guest, who is Tom Hopkins. Our guest today is one of the most highly acclaimed authorities on the subject of professional selling in the world today. As business people facing an ever-changing marketplace, we demand credibility, and Tom's nearly 40 years in sales, sales management, and sales training gives him the credentials we desire in a sales expert. Over 4 million students on 5 continents and in 13 countries. That's a lot of traveling, Tom, and you can remark on that in a minute after I get done with the intro. Have studied with Tom in his live sales training seminars. He has authored 17 books on salesmanship and success. Tom's first book, How to Master the Art of Selling, has sold over 1.6 million copies and has been translated into 7 languages, which makes it the best-selling book ever on the subject of how-to selling techniques. And more recently, Tom published the award-winning book, Selling in Tough Times, that we'll be discussing today. Tom Hopkins joins us with one overwhelming desire, that is to help us communicate more effectively with our clients. The end result is that our efforts to serve their needs generate more sales, and so we can enjoy the rewards of greater levels of success. Tom Hopkins, I'm honored, and welcome to the Business Builder Show.
Well, thank you, Marty, and I'm excited to share some concepts with you guys.
I read the book, Selling in Tough Times. It was fascinating and very helpful. Some of us are feeling we are in tough times. And so I guess I'd like to know, what do you think happens when people start to feel like they're in that pinch or in a crunch?
Well, it depends. If you're a top producer, you do one thing. If you're a mediocre or average producer, you'll do another. In other words, a top producer realizes that the entire market is based on not only his attitude or her ability to contact more people, so that a pro says, hey, things might be tightening up, so I'll just increase my activity levels, I'll give better service, I'll follow up closer with my existing client base, and in doing so, that will take market share. Mm-hmm. Now, the lower side of the coin, they will get negative. They'll slow down thinking things are slow, and if you slow down, it will be slow.
Hmm.
And so they will leave the business, so the person that's going to be on top when the market swings, it's kind of like right now. Everybody that I know in the economy that studies the economy says 2014 is going to be a really strong year.
Mm-hmm.
You get ready for it now as far as increasing your activities with your client base.
Hmm. Fascinating. It really gets down to get busy, right? That's what you say in the book, is get busy no matter what's going on.
That's it. And a pro doesn't judge their sales skills by just what they make. They judge it by the quality of the client base that they develop and the referrals that they get by making people happy with the service or the product that they represent.
Yes. Tom, you know that, as you know, there are different types of down cycles. There's things worldwide, and there's things that may relate to our industries, and sometimes there's these down cycles that are personal or maybe of our own making. Do you have any suggestions on how we can strengthen our positions to ride these sometimes down cycles, like how we can ride through them?
Well, the first thing, Marty, I think a person has to be mature enough to admit that they are possibly in a down cycle,
mm-hmm.
and they have to say to themselves, I can do one of two things. I can quit and give up the great opportunity of selling and servicing and having a small business, or I'm going to get real serious now and work through this. And again, I come back to the famous little saying that's kind of one of my bylines, when things slow down or there's negativity, the pro does the G-O-Y-A formula. Goya, Goya, get off your anatomy.
Yes, yes. Good choice of words. Very well done. Very professional, like you are.
Thank you.
And another thing, another phrase that you use is an attitude of servitude. Did I say that right? Servitude. Attitude
right.
of servitude. Tell me, and that kind of connects to what you're saying, doesn't it?
Well, I think it does, Marty. See, we're now in a world of internet. We're a world of not personal relationships as much as we used to be. And because of that, if a person wants to make a lot of money, take the dollar sign, see the dollar sign, and mm-hmm. make it the S in the word service.
Mm.
Because if you'll increase the service to your client base and, as a small business owner, having everybody on the team realizing that we're all in sales.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in the heating and air conditioning business, the person that's doing the servicing of the unit at the residence of the consumer, they're having to sell just by the way they treat the consumer.
Yes.
So the whole team is selling, and I really believe that everyone is in a way in sales regardless of what they do for a company.
Yes, they're making that point of contact that well, can make or break a company, quite frankly. Obviously, the salesperson, you know. But and in these difficult times, Tom, it's been my experience that, you know, sometimes our clients or our customers, they get a little skeptical and maybe fearful. Maybe, you know, they're kind of holding back a little bit. Do you have any ideas you can help us out? And as people in sales today, how can they build trust to get over that?
Well, if you stopped me in the elevator and said we have five floors together, what's the most important thing a salesperson does? They, first of all, know the importance of trust, and they work very hard to keep the level of trust. And when you have a little negativity, a little fear, and many people today are a little afraid about what's going to happen in the future.
Mm-hmm.
When people get into a fear mode, they will either fight, meaning they'll say no with a little bit of a passion, or they'll flight, saying, get back to me, we'll talk about it and get back to you.
Mm-hmm.
Or they become creative, and possibly they, being creative, find new ways to serve their clients.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping closer in touch, like, for example, thank you notes, which I'll touch on in another one of your questions. But I think the things that people do to keep in touch with people are so important. Many people just feel their clients are going to be loyal, and people are not loyal today.
Mm-hmm.
They can save 2 cents, they'll leave you even though you've done a good job if you're not keeping close enough to them.
Mm. You have to really stay in touch. And as you started to, well, you did say in the answer to that question, is that there may be too much of a reliance on technology. Do we want to go a little deeper with that and follow up on that a little bit
more?
Sure.
And I couldn't agree more. People are hiding behind technology. They feel like send out an email. This is one reason why I'm trying my best at my seminars to convince salespeople and business owners that the thank you note handwritten has more power today than it did back when I did it, when I started in real estate. Why no one's doing it? And they're all doing emails, electronic transaction, communication. But I find if you send a person a thank you note, I also believe that you got to tie your follow-up into holidays. I gave out 500 pumpkins at Halloween one year. And I put it on the front of the client's front door. Had some young teenagers help me pass them all out, and it was powerful because here I was giving back, and business owners have to realize you must reinvest your earnings in your company, and I feel again the giving. And even if you tied in, I didn't send Christmas cards, Marty, because everyone in the world did.
Right.
I send the Thanksgiving cards.
Yes.
And I guarantee you that now's the time to do it, where you thank them for being a valued client, and no one else will send them a Thanksgiving card, so you're again ahead of your competition.
And Tom, this takes special effort. And by the way, we are listening to Tom Hopkins, and his latest book is Selling in Tough Times. What you just described takes a little more effort. You just got to step out, right, Tom?
You do. You've got to just stay busy, active, moving. You can't sit and wait for business. Too many people are hanging onto their desk in their office hoping someone will call. And the business out talking to people, meeting people everywhere you go, and, you know, discussing what they do.
Mm.
Following up, following up, following up till they buy or die. That's what we have to do.
Buy or die. And follow up is in a go-giver kind of way, with a caring about them, right? And we're going to get into that a little deeper, because we first part of the show, quite frankly, already is here. So we need to take a short break. We are listening to Tom Hopkins, and Tom's latest book is Selling in Tough Times. We will be right back.
Bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Informing, educating, and encouraging. The Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf, and our special guest is Tom Hopkins, and we are having so much fun listening and learning from Tom Hopkins. Let's keep it going. Tom, you know, I've experienced this, and I think a lot of other people have experienced this, that sometimes we may need to approach a customer or a client that maybe we haven't done the best job for. Maybe we've actually neglected them. Help me. Give me some suggestions on how to deal with that.
Well, I think the first key to that situation is to realize you can't make everybody happy. I mean, you are going to have situations where either the company that you represent might have made a mistake in their service, or you did forget to follow up on something you said you would do. But one thing I found over the years, if you'll humble yourself, go in person if possible, and just say, I wanted to come by because I know that I have done something that I wasn't happy about. I want to continue to serve you and your company, and that's why I wanted to come by and say, I apologize if what we did in lack of follow-up in any way affected your business or what we're doing together. Because I want you to be our client. I want to give you better service. And so I just wanted to come over here and eye to eye let you know that we'll never let anything like this happen again. That's my commitment to you. And you'd be amazed by having the guts to go and do an in-person, eyeball-to-eyeball apology if you've messed up. It's a powerful thing.
Yes.
Many people in sales have a client get upset and they take them out of their book. They simply say, well, they're not my client anymore. They got upset at me. That's not the way. Never give up. And see, you've never failed in life until you quit. So if you keep following up, eventually you can win people's business back.
And not only that, Tom, you might get even more business because you humbled yourself and you recommitted to it. Have you experienced that?
Oh, sure. In fact, I found that some of the toughest clients I had, because of my constant follow-up, the little things that I did, they would become my loyalest clients. And the tough people, once you win them over, they're the ones that will go to work for you to get referrals to other clients.
Yes. We talk about people going after their dream clients or their dream prospects, as opposed to thinking the world is your customer. You have some thoughts on, you know, being more selective in terms of who you're selling to?
Well, I tried to, in a way, I put them in categories. And I the first client I call the hot client, meaning they're qualified, they're very good in what they do. They are going to be a long-term client. I'm going to stay very close to them. Then we had the medium client. That was someone we wanted to definitely keep, but we didn't give as much of the follow-up as we would the hot client. And then we had the cold client that we had to keep kind of trying to win over, but here again, we built in ways of keeping in touch. Now, as my business grew, Marty, I hired a full-time assistant whose full-time job was to create follow-up. I had one program that worked so well, I would have this person go through the magazines and newspapers looking for jokes, something that was funny.
Oh, that's neat.
We called it the Chuckle of the Week, and that was the Chuckle of the Week program, where we would put it in an envelope, you know, thinking of you today, thought you'd get a chuckle from this. And, of course, I did that on a weekly basis, having this assistant do this. And there again, people say, man, keep sending those jokes to me.
Wow.
You know, I wrote a book called Laugh Your Way to Wealth and Health with 200 clean, fun jokes because I think the world needs to lighten up. World needs to have humor.
Yes.
And so laughter is so, so important. And, of course, I try my best to teach salespeople, hey, you know, keep on laughing, laugh yourself all the way to the bank, and keep that attitude and enthusiasm going.
Here's something that I run into all the time, because we work with a lot of direct sales teams and people. The comment, I'm happy with my present supplier. Do you have some ways in how we might handle that, Tom?
Well, there's a basic concept, and the first concept is if you said you were happy with your existing client, I'd say, well, or your existing service, I'd say, well, who are you using right now?
Right.
And they'd say, the Brown Company. Oh, great company. I'm curious, how long have you been using them? And they say, 3 years. Well, then you've been in business 10 years, so who are you using before the Brown Company? Well, we were using the Green Company. So you were with the Green Company and you moved to the Brown Company. Are you happy with the change? Well, yes, we're glad we did it. Well, if you experience being so happy with that change, would you open your mind to look at what we can do and maybe look at us as a possible change to make you even happier? Does that make sense?
Boy, that's That's so solid. That is so solid. Well, you're right. We at the break or at the beginning, we said we could go on for hours. Well, we can, but we're not going to. I'd like to, but I'm afraid we can't do that. Here's something that I want to spend a little time on: the importance of getting referrals. And do you have suggestions? And we've talked about this in the show. How important are getting referrals? And do you have some thoughts on how to help our audience get more referrals?
Well, the first thing is that they've got to do a presentation in the beginning to let them know that's how you build your business. Kind of like this. You know, Marty, you haven't seen a lot of television advertising about our company, have you? Don't say no, because we don't advertise on TV.
Right.
The reason we don't spend millions of dollars in advertising is we've decided to build our company on word-of-mouth recommendations from clients that we make very happy.
Mm-hmm.
So the management of my company has asked, if we do a great job for you and you're thrilled with what we do, would you mind if I ask you for a few people you might know that might like to take advantage of our service? How would you feel about that? Well, they'll say, well, sure, do the job for me. And, of course, if you do what I continue to teach, you out-service anyone that's ever done business with them, you keep in touch, you follow up, you keep your commitments to them. Then, when you close the transaction, you simply say, now, do you remember when we first started talking, I told you how we built our company on word-of-mouth recommendations?
Wow.
Well, now I'd like the opportunity to see if you could give me those three names.
Right.
And you have to just give them a specific number. Then you might have to get them started.
Yes.
With small groups of people they know. Because, see, they won't know of anybody. If you say, do you know anyone else, they won't be able to pick out anybody. So the pro selects small groups of people that they would know where they can come up with their three referred leads.
Mm.
But set them up in the beginning. That's how we've built our company.
Yes. That was great. Full circle, you take it. Tom, we're running out of time. We only have about 30 seconds. I want to make sure that you... Here's what I want to make sure, your point that you make. Because you say how important it is to take care of yourself. Because you need to do that, in other words, to take care of others. So let's close this up by talking about that and then making sure that we know how to get in touch with you.
Well, I first of all believe that you've got to be physically fit and have a high energy level to be in business today. Exercise regimen is critical. Diet is critical. Maintaining a weight, looking good in your clothes, all these things make you a product. And you, as a person in business, you're the product before the product that you sell is.
That's correct. They buy from the person as much as anything else. So what's the best way to get in touch with you, Tom?
Well, if they go to my website, which is tomhopkins.com, it's in Scottsdale, Arizona, and they can just follow us up at Tom Hopkins International and get our information, and we'd love them to look at our books and CDs and see if there's anything in there that they might use to have a better business.
Tom Hopkins, thank you so much for being a guest on the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf. You have a great week.
You too, Marty. I appreciate you, bud. Bye-bye.
Presenting the thought leaders of today. It's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf. Presenting the thought leaders of today. It's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf.
Tom, let's wrap up our discussion on Tom Hopkins by going to Dr. Tony Massari.
Hi, I'm Tony Massari with a thought about success with perspective and wisdom. Tom Hopkins has spent a lifetime mastering the art of selling and teaching it to others. He is a celebrated how-to person. When he talks, people listen. During his conversation with Marty, he shared several ideas about successful selling. Each one of these ideas is deeply rooted in values that can transform a person's life as well as achieve success in business. When Tom Hopkins mentioned the importance of attitude, activity, and service, I thought of these three universal truths. The control center of your life is attitude. Activity with insight is the only way to overcome adversity. He profits most who serves best. His comment about building trust reaffirmed this truism. To be trusted is a greater compliment than to be loved. When he lamented the fact that there is too much reliance on technology and not enough emphasis on the human connection and the power of gratitude, I recall these instructive sayings. Gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all others. Seeds of discouragement will not grow in the thankful heart. Give thanks for a little, and you will find a lot. Thank you, Tom Hopkins, for teaching us how to become more grateful, more human, and more successful people by giving without remembering and receiving without forgetting. Characteristics, to be sure, that represent America at its best. For Marty Wolf and the Business Builder Show, I'm Tony Massari with America at its best.
Thanks, Tony, for another great commentary. Carrie, now we're going to continue our discussion about sales and how to find your best customers. And this article, once again, comes from Entrepreneur Magazine from a gentleman named Perry Marshall. I found this really interesting because we're going to talk about something of selecting your markets carefully and finding out how to reach your best customers. I'll tell you, Perry Marshall has this down pat. I challenge the audience and Tom and all of us, Google Perry Marshall and see if you can find him. Fascinating. So as that is kind of as a setup, the 80-20 rule of sales, how to find your best customers, it says about 20% of your customers produce 80% of your sales. Now, I don't want to argue with an expert, Perry Marshall, but I would think we should be focusing on 80% of our profits. There's a distinction there. Now, I'm not going to beat that to death, but you do want to be thinking about, you know, what really matters are your profits. Now, yes, sales and activity. So I don't want to take us off the beaten path, but about 20% of your customers produce 80% of your sales or your profits. And the funny thing is that even within sales and business people, business owners often ignore the 80-20 rule. They ignore it. Now, why do we do that? We tend to waste our time trying to please all of our customers instead of really pleasing the best ones or the most lucrative ones. This is making sense, doesn't it, so far?
Yes.
Do I have your attention? We see this all the time, Carrie. I mean, we struggle with it in our own business, but we see this all the time in clients we work with. Well, they just want to, I use the phrase spray and pray. I will stay on that one again. Just put something out there and see what happens. But it doesn't work. You really need to focus and ignore the unimportant or the unrelated topics. The goal should be to zero in on those 20% of the customers who are essential for your business prosperity. Remember we had Marty Grunder on.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about, hey, don't move on to another market. If you say you're going to capture 20% of this a particular market and certain profits, don't move. He's in Dayton, and he was talking about Dayton. Don't move on to Cincinnati until you have that, until you're focused on that, too. So this is the same kind of thought process. So here's what Perry Marshall suggests in the 80-20 rule of sales, how to find your best customers, is to mine your customer lists. Carrie, you kind of like this in terms of mining your Facebook lists, your email lists. And what did he say? He has a little saying in there.
Well, he came up with the RFM rule. R standing for recently, F standing for frequently, and M standing for money. And the concept is really delve into the transactions you've had to see who bought most recently, who is buying most frequently, and who's spending the most cash with your company.
Therefore, mine your customer lists.
Or cash slash profit, as you talked about.
Yes, because that's important.
Yes.
Now, he says also here to maybe send them nicer Christmas gifts. I want to dovetail into something that Tom Hopkins shared with us. Send them Thanksgiving cards. Be thankful for their business. Stand out.
Stand
be
out.
I think that's important. I like that thought
yes.
process.
Getting back to what you talked about earlier on, Mr. Marshall has in there words from our Declaration of Independence that everyone is created equal. And Mr. Marshall is saying everyone is not created equal. Different clients are going to bring in more money or be easier to work with, have higher transactions, or be difficult.
Correct.
To deal with. So I came up with the idea, what you're doing is fiscal profiling.
Fiscal profiling. Wow.
So you really, as Marty indicated, have to go through the reports to find out where is your action coming from. Great opportunity to cross-sell, upsell.
You got it.
Excellent. You're really expanding maybe one client that's bringing in a small line of products or buying them. It's a great opportunity to expand.
And one of the places you would look for those clients is where are they coming from? What's the actual geography? And he has his market defined as outside, advanced markets in social media technology as people who live around San Francisco, Dallas, and Washington, D.C. He's narrowed down that geography. So that's an important thing. Think about that.
It's going to lead where you should be advertising. Maybe you need to devote more attention to that area. It may just be the climate in that area of people are more in tune to how you promote yourself and more receptive.
Could be. Absolutely. Geography matters, especially in restaurants. And when you have bricks and mortar, it's really important. But it's important all the time. Find your customer niches or niches. What is that? How's the proper pronunciation of that?
I like niche.
Niche. I do, too. We'll stay with that. Find your customer niche. It says the customers who buy the most expensive products or services almost always fit a peculiar demographic. They're unique. They're special. They buy certain products at certain times. They share interests. So you can find out what people, you know, what interests people share. Next thing, we talked about this during the break, Carrie, is fire your problem customers. If they're not generating the sales and profits, ditch them.
Which is a tough thing to do, but you have to look back at, you know, really all businesses, their inventory is time.
Yes.
And if they're monopolizing too much time in a profit ratio, you have to make a hard decision. Either put them on three-day delivery. You can't just drop everything and get to their needs.
Now, the point is pinpoint your silent high-volume buyers, and that is don't forget who's already giving you that business. We talk about looking at the lifetime value of a customer. There's so much more we can talk about with this, Carrie, but kind of need to wrap this up. And I just want to say that towards the end of this, he says, paddle away from the 20% of your customers who cause problems and focus on the 20% who buy the most from you. I love that thought process. Paddle away from the 20% of your customers who cause problems and focus on the 20% who are good clients. So we need to wrap up. So thank you again for being part of the Business Builders Show with me, your business coach, Marty Wolf. Thank you, Tom Hopkins, for being our special guest. Carrie and Tom, as always, thanks for your help and support. And Tom, Carrie was extraordinary today, don't you think?
It brought a tear to my eye.
It brought a tear. Me too. I was kind of crying too.
Don't feed the trolls.
Yes. Our guest next week will be the pit bull of personal development. Yes, that's Larry Winget. Larry is the author of several New York Times and Wall Street Journal best-selling books. He was also on A&E's reality series Big Spender, and he is featured, and he is a featured expert on many television shows for Fox News, CNBC, and others. His latest book is Grow a Pair. That title should get your attention. So, we do our best on the Business Builder Show so you can do your best. We look forward to being with you next week on the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Thanks for listening and have a great week.
Bringing the business classroom to you, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.